Yes, sir.
I choose to believe that's true. What's that?
Oh. All right. We have some announcements. There's new Secret Sisters registration forms on the table out there. This is the last week to fill one out. And the selection of the Secret Sisters will be next week. Will that be in between services or anybody know? Okay. New Bible study begins this Tuesday, November 1st. It's going to be called The Frailty of Man and the Power of Spirit. Dad's going to be leading that. And there are DVDs on the table back there as you head out. They're called 180 is the name of the DVD. And feel free if you'd like to take one home and watch it. And then if there's anybody out there that you think or that the Lord puts on your heart, that someone out there that you know needs to see that, then by all means, get it into their hands. Which, how'd it go Tuesday? Good? Got rid of all of them? Nice. You didn't even get arrested. Todd got escorted off? Well, he's a troublemaker. Really? Yeah. Really? Awesome. Praise the Lord. It's almost like a miracle. Yeah? That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, you guys had over 1,000 of them, right? 1,100. So they went to Oswego, SUNY Oswego, and they handed out these DVDs, 180. I'm not even going to tell you what it is. If you're curious, take one home and watch it. Powerful. Powerful. It's definitely rated R, just so you know. The bad words are bleeped and stuff like that, but it's pretty heavy, man. It's like half hour, 20 minutes, something like that, but it's a powerful, I believe, tool for witnessing, too, just because, Scripture talks about this veil and that the people of this world have been made blind by the prince of the power of the air, who is Satan, right? And that's the goal. You know, we talk about, when we get political, which is seems like there's more and more of, but when we talk about political things, you know, one of the things that you hear so many people talking about is, the government blinding us or distracting us from what's really going on. And that's nothing new. That's politics 101, quite frankly. Guess who invented that? It wasn't a politician. It was the devil. He invented that. It's the old bait and switch is what it is, where Satan will present something in such a way that it either looks attractive to the eye or it seems to make sense. And if here's the key. Here's the key to that. When you have people who reject the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Word of God, when you have a people who reject that truth, and not just in the sense of, I don't choose to believe that. If someone doesn't choose to believe that, that's their right. I don't have a problem with that. I mean, it makes me sad, certainly. But if that was just what it was, that'd be one thing. But with the gospel message and the Word of God, it goes beyond that. It's that I don't want that thing anywhere near me. I don't want that gospel message. I don't want that Word of God anywhere near me because it shines the light on my life. It shines the light on my life. That's what the Word of God does. That's what the gospel message does. It shines the light on my life and shows me that I'm a sinner and I'm lost. That's the gospel message. And nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to hear that. You know, the analogy is always given medically. You know, if you went to the doctor and the doctor said, you know, you have cancer in your body, do you want to hear that? No. Of course you don't want to hear that. It's the last thing on earth you want to hear. However, you understand and you realize that you need to hear that. Because if there is cancer in my body and no one ever makes me aware of it, I will surely die. And this whole world is sick with a type of cancer. The Old Testament, leprosy, and the Bible all throughout. Leprosy is a picture of sin. Well, we don't have so much leprosy anymore, but we certainly understand cancer, don't we? It's an abnormal cell. It's when cells go bad. And it's this mass of living cells, but it just isn't right, and it's not supposed to be there, and it'll kill you. And if someone doesn't tell you about it, and if you don't have the willingness to go find out whether or not it's present in your body, you'll never know that you're sick until it's too late. So I don't want to know that I have cancer. I hate going to the doctor. The whole deal gives me the creeps. I hate it. But I go once every 15 years, not as often as I ought to, because I know if there's something wrong with me, if there's something there, I need to know so that what? So I can fix it. That's the gospel message. That's it. Plain and simple. It's not, hey, you're going to hell because you're a scumbag. Or you're a dirty, rotten sinner and God's angry with you. No. That's not the gospel message. The gospel message is you're sick and you're dying and you don't even know it. You've not been, for whatever reason, made aware that you're sick and you're dying. Not physically, perhaps, though we're all dying physically one way or another, but spiritually. And if you die in your sins, if you die with this spiritual sickness, then comes what the Bible calls the second death or eternal death, separation from God. But God, seeing this and knowing this of each one of us, has placed for us all a way, and there's no toll. It is free, and it has been placed there, and it spans the gap over the valley of death, from death to life. Relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ, and it's free. And you come just as you are. You don't clean up first. Well, you know, I'd like to be one of those Christians, but listen, I got issues. I got a mouth like a sailor. I like to drink a little bit too much. I like to watch stuff that I shouldn't watch. I have anger issues. Welcome aboard. Welcome aboard. You fit right in with the rest of the body of Christ. That's where every single one of us come from. I don't clean myself up. I don't change my ways. My relationship with God through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit changes my ways. And it's not overnight. It's a walk. It's a process. It's compared to a race. And the songs that we sing give me strength, give me courage, increase my faith so that I might continue to walk, continue to strive towards you. Now, that's the deal. And that's salvation. But going back to what I was originally talking about, do you understand why Satan might not want people to know that? And so he blinds people. I see a lot of this with politics. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I could really care less. If they put somebody up there who was nonpartisan, who just said the right things, and I felt was speaking the truth, man, I'd love to vote for someone like that. But I don't know that person exists. I don't know that person exists. Someday he will be sitting on the throne of David, though. But what you see is it becomes about these certain issues, whether it's abortion, right? Pro-life versus pro-choice. Are you pro-choice or are you pro-life? And people are vehement about it. Or same-sex marriage or this or that. And the idea is to put you on either this side or to put you on that side, while the main issues, the big things, the real problems with this country and what's going down and the where this country's heading and what the real intentions are never even mentioned. That's not a part of it. It's these certain little catchphrases that get me to have an emotional response. Satan loves that kind of thing. He loves that kind of thing because it keeps your eyes off of seeking the truth. What is the truth of the matter? You know, and you know how it is. If you have a if you're bent a certain way, it is very hard for us to see anything that the other side is saying, or and to take it to heart and really contemplate it and think about it. I had a friend that used to say, "I'm going to put that in the hopper. I'm going to put that in the hopper. I'm really going to think about that." But that's hard to do. You know, if you're coming from a basic place of disagreement with me, it's hard for me to want to receive what you're saying. And that's what we're dealing with when we're talking about sharing the gospel message of Jesus Christ. People who don't want the truth, who are not interested in the gospel, who do not want the light of God's goodness shined upon their life because they know it'll expose darkness, they'll do anything and everything. They will move heaven and earth to keep it away from them, and they will buy any lie so long as it keeps them away from that truth, that light. Okay. Wow. So Matthew chapter 25 is where we're at. Someone want to answer that and scream at those people? I'm just teasing. I'm new. How dare you? We're Matthew chapter 25, and we are picking up in verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, "Look, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them." His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." He also who had received 2 talents came and said, "Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents beside them." His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Then he who had received 1 talent came and said, "Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, here you have what is yours." But his Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Wow. So the basic concept of this story that Jesus is telling his disciples is you have this ruler, and he brings his servants before him, and he gives them each talents. Now, not talents in the sense of, you can sing or dance or play the piano. Talent was a measurement of weight, usually, of some sort of money. And it's vague here, and it's supposed to be. It's a measurement of money, okay? It's really not supposed to be specifically one thing, because we're trying to get an idea here. Okay, Jesus isn't telling them, "This is a specific story. You need to remember it to write down because, you know, what is a talent?" No. it's an overall theme. Excuse me. And here's the overall theme. The ruler of the land was going to go on a long journey. So before he left, he brought his 3 servants to him, and he gave them each some measure of money, each according to his ability. Okay, so you have 3 servants. Each with a different amount of ability, a different kind of ability, whatever the case may be, whatever their responsibilities might have been through that. And he gives them each a measure of money, of something that can be taken to purchase something else, or that can be invested, or whatever the case may be. Okay? You have this much ability. Here's 5 talents for you. Okay? Now, next servant. You have this much ability. Here's 2 talents for you. Okay? And then to the last servant, you have this amount of ability. Here's 1 talent for you. And then it says immediately he left and went on a journey. So the picture we have is you know, Jesus is speaking before, obviously, his death and resurrection. But what he was talking about is, again, just like the virgins, the 10 virgins last week, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. You have a picture of the church. And you have a picture of the Lord, of the Lord of the manor, or the Lord of the land, which would be Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead after being crucified. He rose from the dead, and then he ascended to heaven. In a sense, went away on a long journey and was gone a long time. He's been gone over 2,000 years now. Okay? And when he left, he entrusted to his servants this measurement of value, this measurement of currency of some sort. Now, we know that after Jesus left, or before Jesus left, he said, if I'm leaving, but I'm going to leave with you what? A comforter, right? The Holy Spirit. And then in Acts, at the very beginning, we have the account of the day of Pentecost, right? The Jewish feast of Pentecost. And the disciples are gathered in an upper room, and suddenly the Holy Spirit entered into the place. And what appeared to be cloven tongues of fire, I believe is the verbiage. I don't even know what that's supposed to look like or mean. But if you saw it, I guess you'd say, hey, that looks like a cloven tongue of fire. Appeared to be like a fire over the heads of the disciples or in the room. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the way God chose to manifest it. And they were filled with that day with the Holy Spirit. And you know, each one of them was filled. But that was the coming of the Holy Spirit to work within the church, right? And within the hearts of those who would be saved. And from that day forward, what happened? The disciples just, okay, we're here, we're in the room, we have the Holy Spirit here, let's not leave. Let's stay here, make sure the fire doesn't spread, but let's keep it right here. This is what we need to do. Shh, don't tell anybody. This is our secret. Listen, you tell people there's a cloven tongue of fire that appeared above your head, they're going to think you're crazy. You shut your mouth. Well, this is going to be our secret. Absolutely not. First thing that happens, they go out. And Peter preaches his famous message where he gets up there and he just lays it out, the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And it says that when these men heard it, they were cut to the heart. They were cut to the chase. It was just like this powerful conviction came over them. What do you suppose that might have been? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Now, immediately, when Peter went out and was just faithful to what he'd been called to do, Peter didn't go beyond himself. Now, certainly, the ability to preach the truth in front of a large crowd of people and not care what they thought was beyond Peter. Okay? In his original form. He cared a lot about what people thought. But, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter, what happened to him? He changed. He changed. And he immediately went out and just simply began to do what the Lord naturally put on his heart to do. For our purposes, for each one of you, that might be something different. We're not all evangelists. We're not all, well, we are all evangelists in a sense. We are all not pastors. We are all not this, or we are all not that. Okay? Each of us has the work of the ministry to do, but each of you are called according to your ability. Each of you are called where you are to do some form of service for your Lord. So, I think it's important for us as believers to not sit back and think of all the things right now that maybe I ought to be doing that have never entered into my mind to do. I would say, instead, dwell on and think on the things that you know God has put on your heart to do, and maybe you have yet to do that. You've yet to go there, but you have this thing on your heart. And maybe you are already doing what God has put on your heart to do. Keep doing that. Keep doing that. So Peter, not of his own power, not of his own ability, but in a natural way, just doing what God had put on his heart to do, went out and just in faith, began to speak forth the word, to speak forth the gospel. And from that point in time, the Holy Spirit did what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit went right into men's hearts, spoke right directly into their lives, and it says that they were cut to the heart. They were cut, whoa, whoa. And what is it, 3,000 were added to the church that day that were converted? Was it 3 or 5? 3. Thanks, Lance. It's my walking concordance. 3,000. Now, I would put it this to you, okay? Peter was a 5-talent guy. Not based upon his ability or what God saw in him before he was saved. Study your Old Testament and see who God called. Remember a guy named Gideon? Gideon was a 5-talent guy. But according to our estimation, he would have been a 1-talent guy, if that. He would have been a guy you wouldn't want to invest anything in at all. He was a self-proclaimed nothing, basically. When the angel of the Lord appeared to him, Gideon basically said, well, I'm nothing. Listen, my tribe is the least in the tribe of Israel. I don't know how you determine that. But Gideon had it all figured out. My family is the least in the tribe. I'm the least in my family. Basically, what Gideon said is, I'm the most worthless person in the nation. Like, seriously, you got the wrong guy. Because I am the singular, single most useless man you will ever meet. Okay? I've had that thought before. Not about me. No, I'm just kidding. I have had that felt like that before, though. God, really? Me, really? There's no way. I know you're done with me. You're done with me. There's no way. My heart is so far from you. I'm just, oh, where my thoughts go. And, oh, and just when I think I'm not going to be this way anymore, and then it comes out, oh, look, not me, not me, not me. Yes, you. Gideon, of his own ability, where he was born, his station of life, he says, I'm nothing. But God said, no, you're a 5-talent guy. And the reason I say that is, when I read this portion, and I read about when the Lord came back and how he dealt with the 1-talent servant who just went and buried it in the sand, buried it in the dirt, I think to myself, I've probably invested a talent. You know what I mean? And then I think to myself, what if the 5-talent guy didn't earn 5? What if he earned only 1 talent? How would that have been dealt with? And I start getting into all the semantics in my head. And then I have to stop myself because I start overthinking the whole thing. Here's the thing. Do what God has called you to do. And this is the point, really, of the whole story. Do what God has called you to do. God has spoken to each one of you. I believe that. I don't believe you'd be here otherwise. He's spoken to each one of you, and he has put ministry in your life. It may be under the roof of your own house. It may be in your workplace. It may be here. It may be the diner you go to in the morning before you go to work. It could be anywhere. Only you know where you're at right now, and God has a calling for your life where you are at right now. So here's the point of the story. It's not the amount of ability that you have, which, again, reminder, it's not determined by you what your ability is. Because you may be sitting here saying, I'm a 1-talent guy. I'm a 1-talent girl. And the Lord might be saying, oh, no. You're a 5-talent guy. You're a 5-talent gal. You're just not all the way surrendered yet to my will. But I have 5 talents for you. Or I have 2 talents for you. Or maybe it is 1 talent. The important thing is this. Forget the 5, and forget the 5 more. Focus on this. The guy who had the 5 talents, who was given 5 talents, and the guy who had the 2 talents, who was given 2 talents, immediately went out and put that out to use. He put that out to use. well, gee, what exactly did he do? And how exactly did he? Or, don't worry about that. That's not for you to know. That's not for you to decide. God will work that. Just like Peter, when he went out on the day of Pentecost and began to preach, he simply was just going out there and putting it out there. Who caused that return of souls to come back? Was it Peter? No, no, no. It was God. It was the Holy Spirit. That is your talents. The Holy Spirit in you. Go out and do what God has called you to do. God will bring the increase according to whatever He has determined for your life. It'll be five, it'll be two more, it'll be five more, it'll be one more, wherever you're at. Whatever God has called you to do, that's not my choice to make. It's not your choice to make. Again, remember, at the beginning of the story, we're servants. We do what we're told to do and what we're called to do. Okay? So that being said, the last guy. The guy with the one talent guy, man. Dude, you only had to get one more. And you wonder if he would have been able to look into the future and know what his master would. If you would have just put it in the bank and earn interest on it, it seems that the master would have been pleased. But this guy took his talent, and I don't know if you've ever... I mean, there are people that actually do bury their money in the backyard or stuff it in a mattress. I don't know, maybe that's safer these days. As far as money goes, I don't know. You know, if that's what God's called you to do. No. But some people do that. But you can earn interest, hopefully, hypothetically, if you don't ever use your ATM card, on your accounts, on your money. Okay? So this guy, no. He just took it and he buried it. And it seems that he had it all worked out in his head when the master came back, as though he knew he would be questioned on it. You ever have somebody say this to you? See, I think the Lord's got to take into account, see, that I'm a good person. I mean, I try to, I don't hurt anybody, I don't, blah, 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 blah. And the master just cuts right through all of that. You wicked, lazy servant. If you would have at least put it in the bank, you would have earned interest on it. But this guy took it and buried it in the sand. Remember the song? This is the light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan it out, right? I'm going to let it shine. It comes from the parable where Jesus says, you have a light, you don't take it and hide it under a bowl or something like that. You hold it up so that it can shine everywhere. You don't hide it away. In Deuteronomy, when the Lord was passing down the law, he talks about if you're out there and you see your brother's donkey or oxen fall into a pit or something like that. He says, don't hide yourself from your brother. Don't hide yourself from the situation. That's the word. Don't hide yourself from that. Come on now. You see your brother's oxen, it fell into a ditch. Don't hide yourself from that. You go do what you know you're supposed to do. And what is that? Help the stupid donkey back out of the ditch. Help the oxen. I don't want to help the oxen out of the ditch. I don't want to help the donkey out. And my brother is this or that. You see your neighbor, don't hide yourself. This is the word, that don't hide yourself from that. You go out and you do what you know is the right thing to do. Help your brother. And here's where I think we stand so often in America as a church today. We hide ourselves from everything. We insulate ourselves from everything. And if that's not burying a talent, I don't know what is. To keep yourself away because you know, if I go there, then this or that or this or that. God might use me. God might want me to go do this and that. And then, oh, I'm going to miss the game. Or oh, then I'm going to have to give up this. Or, oh, then I'm going to have to do that. You know, a lot of young Christians you talk to, and I remember having these thoughts myself. Oh, man, I hope God doesn't call me to the mission field. I mean, really. I do not want to leave the country. Syracuse, maybe. But not the country. I feel God's calling me to Colorado. To ride dirt bikes. Ski the mountains, you know. Maybe ministry will come up there. But here's the thing. That is putting ourselves into the equation. which is never the thing to do, okay? Whatever God has called you to do, whatever God has set up for your life, for my life, for our lives, for this church, it goes on and on. It goes from individual to your house, to your church, to the universal body of Christ. Whatever God has set up for us to do, He'll make it manifest in our lives. He will. And then I'm going to have a choice. I'm going to have a choice. Invest it or bury it. Invest it or hide it. And I think that's the thing that we need to understand from this portion. It's not like, okay, what if I just don't do enough? What if, remember, we serve a God of grace and a God of mercy and a God of love. And a God who will not put on you something that is beyond what you can bear. Okay? But He has called us, each one of us, and He's called our church. And I think the most important thing is I just need to be surrendered to that. Surrendered to His will. Whatever it is that He would have me to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for Your word, Lord God. And we pray that You would just speak into our hearts and our lives, not just this morning, Father, but throughout the rest of this week, that You would put within us a heart to seek after You, Father, and to just really desire to be more like Christ Jesus and to do the work of ministry that You've called us to do, Lord, each of us individually in our lives, and that You would give us the courage to follow after You, Lord, and that gumption that's beyond us, Lord, to take whatever it is that You give us and then turn around and share it with other people, Father. We just praise You for what You've done. We thank You for Your salvation again, Lord, and we just ask that Your will would be done in our lives, in our church, throughout the world, Father, as it is in heaven. And we just want to see You glorified, and we want to see Your kingdom further, Father. So we praise You and we thank You, and we ask that You would continue to speak to us this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.